Hi. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our text number and phone number is 312-981-7200. A little bit later on, you want to remember that number to get your Fly Jam Friday requests in with DJ Shagru. 312-981-7200. Fly Jams Friday coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies and You Big Dummy in a little bit. But right now, I want to talk about some origins for 7 popular board games. And when was the last time? Anybody played Monopoly recently? Dan, have you played Monopoly? When's the last time you played Monopoly?
I played Monopoly about a year ago.
Wow.
Eileen's family went on vacation at the beginning of August of last year, and that was in the place we stayed, in the house. So
busted out the old Monopoly.
Yes, it was the Cubs version of Monopoly.
Ah! Man, there's a ton of different Monopoly versions, right?
It's insane how many versions of Monopoly there are.
And aren't there a bunch of also Clue? Like, I know that there's a Simpsons Clue. And there's got to be a Simpsons Monopoly, right? There has to be.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Well, Monopoly was the last time anybody Esmeralda, when was the last time you played Monopoly?
Oh man, good years and years and years.
Me too. What
I've
about
never
you?
Never finished a game. Either.
You've never finished a game.
You get bored after a while.
I remember her saying that. Yeah, that stuck out in my mind.
How about you, Vic? When was the last time you played Monopoly?
I played quite a bit because of the kids.
Oh sure.
Especially coming out of winter. There's not a lot, you know, they're stuck in the apartment, so we play Monopoly.
I'm glad that people are still playing board games, you know, because it's, you know, now you got all the computers and all the stuff and the games and the video games and all that. I think it's kind of cool that people are still playing board games because board games are fun.
By the way, you were talking about how there's all those different versions.
Yeah.
There's a Golden Girls one of Clue.
What?
Yeah, it's coming out this month.
A Golden Girl? Do one of the Golden Girls get killed? Or it's Mr. Body, right? Because it's always Mr. Body that gets killed in Clue. But are they suspects? Are the four Golden Girls, the rest of the characters suspects? That's pretty funny.
Oh, it's the hilarious mystery of who ate the cheesecake.
Oh, I see. So nobody dies. All right. Who ate the cheesecake? Wow. Golden Girls. Thank you for being a friend. Well, here's the origin of Monopoly. Elizabeth Lizzie Maggie was a vocal supporter of the single tax movement during the late 19th century. The proposition called for the abolishment of all taxes in favor of one tax placed on property by relying on citizens who owned land for tax revenue. The policy would have hopefully narrowed the gap between wealthy landlords and their working class tenants. To make these principles as engaging as possible, Lizzie turned them into a board game in 1902. The object of the landlord's game, as it was called, was to snatch up as much land as possible. As available properties on the board grew scarce, rent rose higher, the landlords would watch their fortunes multiply while the players descended into bankruptcy. The winner was the remaining land baron who ended up with everything in play. She thought the game's critique of greedy landlords was obvious, but it eventually evolved into a beast far removed from the original creation. After patenting it in 1904, she sent the game to Parker Brothers, where it was rejected for being too political. Nonetheless, the game attracted a small base of fans. Soon people were revising and improving upon the game with homemade versions of their own. One of them was the new version, now called Monopoly. It found its way to Parker Brothers in 1934. This time they bit, but before they could publish the game, they had to take care of Lizzie's original patent. She agreed to sell the game for $500 under the condition that the copies of her original landlord's game would also be released. It was painfully clear which game consumers preferred. Sales of the glitzy, money-grabbing Monopoly soared, while Maggie's cardboard political parable remained on the shelves. $500. Oh, man. $500. You know, there's stories like that in so many different areas, you know, about somebody who had an idea and then, like, sold it, and then it ended up taking off. $500. Yeah, I think Parker Brothers won. Did Parker Brothers win on that deal? I think Parker Brothers won on that deal. All right. How about Life, the game of life? When was the last time anybody play the game of life? I mean, we do every day, but hey, well, wait a minute. Did I mention that we won an award last night?
I know. Hopefully they're not listening. Maybe hopefully they'll all take
it
back.
I'm glad Andrea took it. Otherwise, they would just definitely put that back down, leave it here.
They'd slap you on the face and then give you the...
So anybody play the game of life recently? Did you guys ever play that game growing up? I didn't play life. We played life, but not as much as some other games.
Yeah, just once or twice that I can remember.
Yeah. Esmeralda, did you ever play Life?
I don't think so. I've looked at it. I don't even know how you play. You spin the thingy and then go around the board,
Yeah, I believe it'll be explained in this explanation.
You get mortgages.
I think so.
Babies.
Yeah. And then you die. That's how the game ends. You die.
That's how you win.
That's how you win.
Who dies first?
How about the game of life, Vic? You and the kids play Life?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
By modern board game standards, it doesn't get much simpler than Life, but the game revolutionized the medium when it was produced by a young Milton Bradley. But what, before he started playing baseball? Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Hold it a minute. Right. Oh, award. We won an award last night. In 1860, growing up in a devout Protestant New England, in the 19th century, Bradley had been taught that games were a sinful distraction. At age 23, he attempted to reconcile this cultural belief with his desire to design a board game. The result was The Checkered Game of Life, a lecture on morality presented as a sheet of cardboard. To play, participants lost and collected points by progressing through the stages of life, represented by the white squares. Some squares were positive, like honesty, perseverance, and industry, while vice spaces, like the not-so-family-friendly suicide square, were less desirable. Jeez, that's a heck of a way to end the game. Oh, I landed on the suicide square. I'm done. To move across the board, players spun a numbered teetotum, as dice were still associated with the illicit act of gambling. The first player to reach 100 points was rewarded with the gift of quote-unquote happy old age. This sounds fantastic. Even with its heavy-handed message, Bradley feared his game would be rejected by the puritanical audiences in New England. So he took his product to New York City instead. That's where you go. That's where you go with it, buddy. You want the opposite of puritanical? Go to New York City. And his instincts were proven correct. He sold all the several hundred copies that he brought with him in a matter of days. The Checkered Game of Life would go on to sell 40,000 copies in its first year. After falling into obscurity at the end of the century, it was resurrected as the more secular Game of Life by Milton Bradley's company in 1959. Is that still how it ends? Happy old age? I don't even remember Life. I remember possibly eating the Life cereal while playing Life. And watching the movie Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence.
Which of those three did you enjoy the most?
The movie. I like that. Oh, they just had that other movie called Life with the alien ripoff with the Gyllenhaal and the Reynolds. All right, Clue. We were just talking about Clue. I don't know, Esmeralda, if this is going to include the mystery of the eaten cheesecake. In the early 20th century, Great Britain was captivated by crime stories. One of the most enduring pieces of pop culture to come out of the golden age of detective fiction wasn't a novel, but rather a board game designed by British husband and wife team, Anthony and Elva Pratt. According to It's All a Game, their game centered around the same type of rural country houses that served the settings for many murder mysteries of the day. After revising some unsavory elements, the original name of Murder... was changed to Cluedo. The gun room was replaced with an extension of the dining room. The UK publisher Waddington's bought the rights in 1945. Getting the game produced overseas proved to be more challenging, though Parker Brothers president Robert Barton enjoyed Cluedo. He refused to release it based on a long-standing company rule that prohibited any products related to murder. But the game stuck with Barton. He eventually convinced the founder of Parker Brothers to make an exception to his murder rule, and it was released under the name Clue in 1949. Yeah, that's still a cool game. Clue is a cool game. You have to use your rules, your powers of deduction, of which I have none. All right, we have to take a break. We'll come back and I'll give you some more of these stories about these board games. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Fly Jams Friday coming up, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We also got you, Big Dummy, straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies, as we do every Friday morning. Our text and phone number and request Fly Jam number, 312-981-7200. So we're talking about the origins of some of these board games. And I remember the Simpsons version of Clue. I wonder if anybody got killed in that. Maybe they've just changed it so that for the Golden Girls, somebody ate a cheesecake. Was there something about that show where people were eating cheesecake? Was that a big...
Maybe.
Was it a big thing on that show? I don't know. I was never a big Golden Girls. I mean, I watched it here and there, but I was never like a regular viewer. I don't know if there was
I'm sure they all loved their sweets.
I'm sure they did. So, all right. Here's a game that I was never good at. Because I've always had shaky hands. Always. So what game am I talking about that I'm not good at? Can you guess? Because my hands are a little shaky. I always had little shaky, nervy hands always.
Operation.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to go Jenga.
Well, no, I'm not good at that either.
Good guess.
I'm not good at that either. Although, I wonder what the origins of Jenga is. Just stack some wood on top of each other and see what happens without falling.
Very quickly, I found a Mental Floss article. 7 times the Golden Girls talked it out over cheesecake.
Oh, okay. So I guess cheesecake was a big deal on the Golden Girls.
In the episode Gold Moments, Sophia wanted to move out.
Uh-oh.
So they ate a plain and bakery fresh cheesecake.
Yeah, I heard Esmeralda just lose it on that one. What's so funny?
I just love the whole show just centered around them eating an entire cheesecake. That's what I'm imagining.
In real time.
Bottle episode. In the episode The Way We Met, the girls were freaked out because they had just watched Psycho, so they enjoyed a double fudge chocolate cheesecake.
Is it basically just any excuse that they have, they just bust out a cheesecake?
Well, in Job Hunting, the episode Job Hunting, Rose had lost her job at a grief center, so they just had a chocolate cake. When Blanche's beloved Big Daddy is marrying a much younger woman, they had just what appears to be a plain cheesecake. In the episode of Weight Loss, there's 2.
Uh-oh.
There's a lemon and a double fudge amaretto ricotta cheesecake.
Good Lord.
They should have come out with a line of cheesecakes.
Yeah, or at least get sponsorship from the Cheesecake Factory. For the show. Wow. Okay, well, evidently cheesecake is a major theme in the Golden Girls. All right. So, did you guys play Operation when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Yes.
I never did.
Yeah, Dan?
Yes, and actually I played a big version of it at an arcade birthday party I was at a couple months ago.
Yeah, I saw that they've got the giant version.
Like the giant version.
Is it the same? Is it the same? The same dude with the nose and
Yeah.
I was never good at it because, like I said, I've always never had steady hands ever, even when I was a little kid. It was worse when I was a drinker. I can tell you that much. So, Operation. Are you ready for the how that one got started? Toy designer Marvin Glass. Oh. Is that Samuel L. Jackson? Hold on a minute now. Wait a minute.
All right.
Can you believe I just made an unbreakable reference, Dan?
award has changed you.
Esmeralda, I just made a Shamalama Ding Dong reference. I don't know.
Riveting.
Oh, man.
I want a cheesecake.
We need to discuss this award that we won over a cheesecake.
With ice cream.
You don't eat cheesecake with ice cream. That's too much dairy.
I live a little.
I noticed DeGilio's not talking.
No,
Mr.
I'm
dairy,
fine.
Man. Yeah, I mean, you're going to throw in your glass of milk.
I had,
isn't that too much dairy, Vic?
I'm just laughing because that's our at our age.
Yeah,
that's us.
That's our celebrating.
We're taking a chance.
Our celebrating.
We drink milk with our cheesecake. Ooh, you're living it up tonight.
There's gonna be ice cream cheesecakes.
Yeah. I've personally gone from a half a bottle of Jameson a day to milk with my cheesecake. That's my indulgence.
Well, right? That's a good move, brother.
We got a break, right? It looks like it.
Yes, we do.
Okay, all right. We won an award, everybody. We're the best local broadcast team on the radio. We're going to eat some cheesecake and then guzzle down some milk. All right, the news is up next. Yeah, man. Hi. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's Friday. That means Fly Jams Friday. We'll be coming up in just a little bit. Get ready for your requests for Fly Jams. Every Friday, we celebrate the great funky world of R&B. 312-981-7200. In just a few minutes, we'll get ready to talk about Dummies. You Big Dummy coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, all for a Friday morning. Hope everybody has a great weekend. All right, let's get back. We were talking about these board games, and Operation was mentioned. Here's a little background on Operation. Toy designer Marvin Glass, and that's when I made the incredible M. Night Shyamalan joke, is the man responsible for bringing board games into the plastic age. He shook up the industry with Mousetrap in 1963 and then again with Operation 2 years later. Hey, Operation is my age. How about that? I'm as old as Operation the game. But before Glass got his hands on it, the game was concocted by an industrial design student at the University of Illinois. For a class project, John Spinello constructed a metal box outfitted with a series of holes along a winding groove through which users had to guide a metal probe. If the tool touched the sides of the path, a buzzer would sound. Spinello arranged a meeting with Marvin Glass through his godfather, a model maker at Glass's game company, to pitch him the concept. Glass bought the invention and transformed it into Operation, a game that had players carefully lift plastic items like spare ribs and stomach butterflies out of a cartoon surgical patient. The object was to remove all the bits without hitting the metal edges of the openings with the toy tweezers. Operation was an instant success for Glass and his company. Spinello, meanwhile, came away with a $500 check. What's going on with that? And an empty promise of a post-graduation job that never came to fruition. What a jerk! Mr. Glass is a jerk. Again, $500. Hey, doesn't the dude have a name? The operation dude that you operate on, doesn't he have a name like Flippy or something? It's not Flippy, but it's something. Mr. Pants. I can't remember what is, but he's got a name. Do we have it, Dan?
Waiting for.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I was looking at cheesecakes.
How did we get into that? Oh, because Esmeralda discovered that the Clue version of the Golden Girls happily and is a cheesecake.
The name. God. The patient in the classic game Operation is named Cavity Sam.
Cavity Sam?
Cavity Sam.
Because he's got all those cavities all over him.
We can do this list next week. It's another Mental Floss list of 19 fictional characters whose names you don't know.
Cavity Sam is the dude on Operation. Hang on to that one. Let's do that next week. And I know that, like, didn't every bone have a name? Because I know there was the funny bone. And I don't remember. They didn't have stomach butterflies, did they?
Have a butterfly. I don't know if it was.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was a stomach butterfly then, yeah.
And the funny bone?
The funny bone, yeah. The funny bone was obviously the elbow. So, and his nose would light up. And I always found it disturbing that he was wide awake during the during the operation. Old Cavity Sam did not get any anesthesia.
You could take out Cavity Sam's Adam's apple, wishbone, broken heart, spare ribs, breadbasket, Charlie horse.
His Charlie horse?
Yep.
What the hell? Is that a muscle? Are you just like pulling the guy's muscle out?
Well, it's something in the shape of a horse. That's all I
know. Oh, it's the shape of a horse. Oh, let's see. That's funny. And is the Adam's apple the shape of an apple?
Yes.
Boy, this guy really had some serious issues, man. He's got an apple in his throat.
His wrenched ankle.
Is it a wrench then you're pulling out of the...
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And brain freezes an ice cream cone.
Why don't I remember any? Well, because I could never play it, because every time I play Operation, it would be... Oh, little shaky Nicky, get in there and play a little Operation. We get to see the nose light up every 14 seconds. All right. All right, let's go on to Trivial Pursuit, shall we? Trivial Pursuit was so big in the early 80s. It was just ridiculous how big Trivial Pursuit was in the early 80s. We used to play it every night. My friends and I used to play it every night. Prior to the release of Trivial Pursuit, board games carried a bit of a stigma. A handful of titles like chess, backgammon, and Scrabble were acceptable for adults to play, but for the most part, a board game wasn't something you broke out over drinks. As Donovan explains in It's All a Game, a photo editor and sports journalist from Montreal changed all that in the early 80s after realizing there was nothing on the market like it. Friends Chris Haney and Scott Abbott put together a prototype of the game that quizzed mature players on subjects like art, sports, history, and entertainment. They scoured trivia books to fill out the cards with questions like, what was the first flavor in Lifesavers candy? And how long did Yuri Gagarin spend in space? The team attracted enough investors to publish the game independently, and even then convincing stores to stock an expensive and old-fashioned-looking board game at the height of Atari mania was a tough job. Not many retailers took a chance on Trivial Pursuit, but those that did watched it fly off the shelves. Soon, stores were reordering the game, and it aroused enough attention that board game producer Selko and Riker bought the rights in 83. Trivial Pursuit has sold 20 million copies. It sold 20 million copies in its first year, proving that the board game was a fashionable hobby for older consumers. Trivial Pursuit. I have the SNL Trivial Pursuit, which, again, I can't play with anyone. And I have the Seinfeld Trivial Pursuit. Again, nobody will play that with me because I don't lose, because I'm a dork and a geek about both of those shows. So, all right, Trivial Pursuit. Did you like Trivial? You like Trivial Pursuit, Esmeralda?
Depends.
Depends on
if it's a newer version, then that's okay. But the older versions, it's always like in 1901,
right?
Ooh, and it's like I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like the one that, or am I thinking of something else? Where they have the triangles and you got to fill the.
Yeah, that's it's you get yeah. You get a pie.
Yeah, I like.
You
I
get
like a, the newer ones.
You get a pie for each answer you get right, and yet each pie is color coordinated.
Yeah.
So you
I
have
like
to,
the TV one.
The TV
like
one.
The
is
ones fun. You get to watch on the TV.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's pretty. I think you can get those. You know, you throw the DVD in, and then
yeah.
you land on one of the spaces, and it's a video quiz.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one on SNL because they play a bunch of clips. You could watch a bunch of old clips. And then Seinfeld, they show stuff from the episodes as well. And then you remember Seen It. You know?
Yes. Did
Seen it
have a little marker thing? Take one.
Oh yeah, yes, yeah. Slate, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was designed to be played, with your DVD player. Because that was the whole deal. You would watch a scene and try to figure out what it was, or watch something from video and answer a trivia question about it. I have the Seinfeld version of Seen It as well. People buy these things for me, and then they go, I'm not playing with you. Because I didn't purchase these things. These things were purchased for me.
You need to find some super fans to play with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I bring that stuff. That's why I brought that SNL game in here. Nobody's going to play that game. I'll ask you guys the questions. You'll get them wrong, and I get aggravated. That's how we do it. But, like, anytime people would come over when I was married or, we'd have people over, I'd be like, hey, well, you guys want to play a board game? They're like, yeah. And I go, oh, let's play SNL. No. Well, what about Seinfeld? No. Come on. Or they'd say, yeah, all right, as long as I'm on your team. If we were playing in pairs, they would, like, draw cards to see who would be on my team. And then everybody would, you know, if the person who was going to be my partner, everybody would be like, I don't want to play now. That's what happens when you're a geek like me. Anyway. All right, we got a break here. Oh, weather and traffic.
Yeah, buy me a minute.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I can. Hey, you know, I can talk. I'm on the Walk of Fame, and I got an award last night. So I should be able to fill a minute, don't you think? I can't. I don't know what I'm going to say.
What's your favorite type of cheesecake?
My favorite, you know, regular, just plain. I'm very boring. When it comes to cheesecake, I just like regular cheesecake. Unless you can put bacon on it. Bacon, has bacon ever been on cheesecake? Anybody ever have bacon?
Sure, it has.
Sure.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Put bacon on anything.
Yeah, bacon maple cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
See, I enjoy cherry myself.
Cherry is your favorite?
Cherry cheesecake.
Yeah. I've already discussed this with you. Yeah. I can't do the cherry stuff.
So more for me.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Dan. See, this is why Dan is part of the award-winning team, because he knows what he's doing.
If he was really part of the award-winning team, he might not have handed you the 3:45 weather at 3:45:45.
All right, we're going to break here. The show, man, award-winning. And we're proving it, baby. We prove it. Every weekday morning, we prove it.